Text tonight as we continue our study through journeys of faith. And last week we saw Moses' journey to the palace, and tonight we're going to learn about Joseph's journey to Egypt. Genesis chapter 37. Horatio Nelson was a sickly boy. He grew up in 18th century England. He was the nephew of a sea captain, and he longed to be a sea captain one day, but because he was ill so much, it made it very difficult. But when his mother passed away, his uncle took him in, and so he did go to sea. But many times he was cut short in his time at sea because of his illness. But he didn't stop. He was undaunted in his effort to start another voyage as soon as possible. He was resolved to make his life matter. He was resolved to make his life worthy. He was promoted quickly to commander of a British ship named the Agamemnon. And Commander Nelson fought in a lot of sea battles. Some of those he won, some of those he lost, but he always continued on. He always persevered. Now, in the middle of that, because of all his illness, he suffered a lot of pain, but he never quit in the face of trouble. He kept on. And he eventually became a hero to the British Navy. It was Lord Nelson who led the English Navy in victory against Napoleon. And I want to remind you tonight that so many times we have difficulties, we have troubles. A lot of trouble that we have is not of our own fault. It's just circumstances that are beyond our control. Sometimes the trouble that we have is our own fault. It's our own doing. But we have to learn to be faithful through it all. We've got to learn to have a sense of resolve to move forward. Shouldn't Christians striving to live for Jesus be more dedicated, more committed to serve Christ than there are those in the world? You look at somebody like Lord Nelson, who faced a lot, but he had a resolve to make his life matter, to make it count. Well, that was noble. Serving your country is a noble thing to do. But serving God is infinitely more important. And we need to have a resolve to live for him. Everybody's going to face crisis at different times in their lives. Things don't often, I used to say sometimes things don't go the way we expect, but it seems like more often things never go the way that you expect. Things don't go the way we plan. But most people would like to come to the end of our lives and be able to say, like the Apostle Paul did here in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 and 7. You remember this? For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And would to God that each one of us would live in such a way day by day that we can come to the end of life's journey, our journey of faith, our individual journey of faith, we can come to the end of that and be able to say, I finished my course. I accomplished what God put me on this planet to do. I stayed faithful to him. Joseph was a man who finished his course. Joseph was rejected by his brothers. Joseph was loved by his father. Joseph was victorious over temptation. Joseph was arrested because of false witness. Joseph suffered from doing what was right. Joseph was promoted from prison to the palace. And what a picture that we see in the life of Joseph of our Savior Jesus Christ, who was rejected by his own. His own received him not, but he was loved by his heavenly Father. He was victorious over temptation. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was arrested by false witness. And Jesus, from the prison where he was arrested, he has certainly been promoted, where he sits on the heavenlies at the right hand of the Father right now tonight. So we see great pictures of the life, in the life of Joseph, we see a picture of Jesus Christ. So tonight we're gonna talk about Joseph's journey to Egypt and glean some things that'll apply to us in our lives. I pray it'll be an encouragement to our hearts. In Genesis chapter 37, beginning at verse 1, the word of God says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time together and to open your word. I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. There's so many great truths that we can glean from this passage of scripture. So many things no doubt will be left unsaid tonight. So I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, that we can meditate on these truths, not just during our time now, but in the next several days, that we'll continue to meditate on your word, that you'll speak to our hearts, that you'll change us. Father, I pray tonight that you would forgive us where we fail you. Help us to have a resolve to be faithful to you. And please change us and make us the way you want us to be, Lord. Conform us to the image of your dear Son, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, tonight, let's notice a journey of faith. A journey of faith. Faith is trusting in God. We know Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you're going to follow God, you're going to live for God, you want to have a life that pleases God, you must have faith. You have to trust in him. You have to believe in him. Now, Joseph was a man of faith. He was a man of faith. First of all, notice he had faith to receive God's revelation. He had faith to receive God's revelation. In Genesis 37 and verse 5, Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Now, they already hated him, and there's a whole other lesson in the fact that Jacob had favorites. We're not supposed to do that. We should love our children all equally. Jacob, there were some things there, and there's a whole other set of lessons there. But just get this, his brothers hated him, but Joseph had faith in what God revealed to him. Now, in biblical times like Joseph's day, God worked through dreams and visions a lot of times. Now, I would caution you today to be careful about trusting in your dreams and visions, and I would encourage you instead to trust in this. Right? Listen, I promise you, you don't believe me, just eat some pizza late at night and see if you don't have some dreams and visions. Get a hold of some bad pickles one day, and there's no telling what kind of visions you might have. We can't trust in our dreams and visions. God worked differently in that time than he does today. We have the completed word of God, and that's the takeaway for us today, is to trust and believe in the revelation of God. God's not going to necessarily reveal things to you through dreams and visions today, but he does reveal his truth to us through his word. And by the way, anything that God impresses on your heart, any way the Holy Spirit might guide you or teach you or whatever you might say, however you might word that, it will never, ever contradict the written word of God. So this is our absolute standard. This is everything we believe, everything we do must be based on the word of God. It takes faith to believe the truths found in God's revelation. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because that when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now listen, when you look at the word of God, the people who heard the Apostle Paul and other missionaries preach at Thessalonica, they didn't receive it as man's word. They didn't say, well, that's Paul's opinion. They understood that they were expounding to them the scriptures, the word of God. And that's what we have to do. Listen, I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to believe God's word. Now, there are a lot of people today who don't believe that the Bible is God's word. They'll say things like, well, it was just written by men, and I think it was just made up by men. And I promise you, people who make that claim are not people who have thoroughly examined the scriptures. You see, if you thoroughly examine the scriptures, you're going to find that there's no question that it was given by God. It will stand up to that scrutiny. It's just an easy excuse to ignore God and to not follow God to say, well, it was just written by men. We need to understand tonight that these scriptures are given by God. We need faith to receive God's revelation. And notice, we need faith to recite God's revelation. Joseph not only got the word of God from God, not only got the vision, not only got the dream, not only got God's plan, but he had enough faith to share that dream, to share that vision, to share that revelation from God. In verses 6 and 8, 6 through 8, Genesis 37, 6 through 8, he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." Joseph acknowledged the vision, acknowledged the revelation that God had given him, and he had enough faith to put it out there. Now, this is where we have to be careful, I think, to not impose or superimpose our ideas or our personalities on the text. I know a lot of people take Joseph and they think that he was kind of a brat. He was kind of a spoiled brat, and he kind of rubbed it in their noses. Like, ha-ha, you're going to bow down to me one day. Now, I'm just going to tell you my personal opinion. When I study the scriptures, I don't see that attitude in Joseph at all. Joseph was a man of humility. Joseph was a man who didn't say a lot. And when he did say stuff, it usually came from God and glorified God. He was a man of humility. He was a man of faith. Now, that's my take on it. And I think you ought to examine it and meditate on it and just see. But the reality is, when God gave him a revelation, he wasn't afraid to share that revelation. And what a challenge for us today. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4 says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." We are called by God to be entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we ought to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ, and not everybody's going to appreciate it. His brothers didn't like his message. And I promise you, everybody that you talk to about Jesus is not going to appreciate the message. When you talk to your neighbors and your friends and your family, some of them, when you give them the gospel, they're not going to be appreciative of it. As a matter of fact, they may hate you for it. But that doesn't change the calling that we have. That doesn't change the command to share the gospel. That doesn't change the great need to share the gospel. We've got to tell people, listen, I am sure that it's one of the hardest things in the world for a doctor to tell their patient that they've got cancer, to tell their patient that they're terminal. I'm sure that's a terribly difficult thing to do, but how much would you have to hate somebody not to tell them what they need to hear? And how much would we have to hate somebody not to warn them of the judgment to come, not to show them that there's a way for them to be saved? His brothers didn't like his message, but it wasn't his message. It wasn't his dream. He didn't make it up. God gave it to him. It came from the Lord. Your neighbors may not like the gospel, but it's not your message, it's God's message. The reality is, when we get rejected for sharing our faith, we're not the ones that are being rejected. And the harsh truth and the sad reality is Jesus is the one who's being rejected. God had a special purpose for Joseph's life, and he promised to be with Joseph, and he's promised to be with us. Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He was with Joseph, and he will be with us. Next, notice a journey of faithfulness. Not only was it a journey of faith, he believed the revelation of God and believed it enough to share it, but it was a journey of faithfulness. Friends, we not only have to believe in God, but we have to learn to be faithful to God. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." God wants us to be faithful. Now, nobody plans for suffering. Nobody wants suffering. But the reality is, suffering is inevitable in this sin-cursed world. When Joseph's journey brought him through times of despair, he just simply stayed faithful. When trouble came, he stayed faithful. When he was sold into slavery by his brothers, he stayed faithful. God's journey that he took Joseph on to get from tending sheep to being in Egypt, in the palace in Egypt, over the kingdom in Egypt, is, I promise you, not the way that you would want to go. When the Apostle Paul, when it was time for him to go from his missionary journeys, it was time for him to go to Jerusalem and ultimately to Rome, I promise you that was not really the plan that Paul had in mind to get there. Just because things don't seem to be going according to plan, remember, if it's out of your control, you can rest assured it's in God's. If it's in your control, the reality is when it's in our control, we tend to mess things up. when we get things out of line. But when things are out of our control and circumstances are beyond your control, you trust that God's in it, even if it's not pleasant at the time. He stayed faithful, first of all, when he was betrayed by his brethren. He was faithful when he was betrayed by his brothers. Genesis 37:11 says, "And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying." In verse 20, he goes on and says, "Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Joseph's brothers persecuted him. They were originally going to kill him, but one of the brothers talked him out of killing him and said, you know, we could just sell him. Might as well make some profit off of this deal. Now, no doubt some of you had a bad day today. I can tell because it's written on your faces. Some of you just had a bad day. If you didn't have a bad day today, you're probably going to have a bad day at some point. But I venture to say, no matter how bad your day gets this week, nobody's probably going to take you and throw you in a pit and sell you into slavery. Probably not. I mean, this is Sequoia County. Things happen, but probably not. Probably not going to happen. And I just wonder, in the worst case scenario in your life, in the worst case scenario that could happen to me, would we stay faithful? We stay faithful. We're going to face opposition, but God is in control. Notice the envy that they had, the jealousy that they had that drove them to their rage. When people see God's blessings in your life and God's grace that's in your life, God's favor that's in your life, they're going to say that you're just lucky, and they're going to hate you for it. They're going to persecute you, and maybe they're not going to throw you in a pit, but they'll certainly throw you under the bus. They'll certainly gossip about you and slander you. But here's the amazing thing. Joseph's brothers hated him and threw him in a pit, but guess what? That was all part of God's plan. All part of God's plan. He was betrayed by his brethren. He stayed faithful. When he was sold into slavery, he stayed faithful. Genesis 37:27. "Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. "And there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt." And what a picture of our Savior, sold for just a few pieces of silver. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." God doesn't call us to be successful, but he does call us to be faithful. And when we face persecution, we have to stay faithful. They sold him into slavery. They got some goat's blood and put it on the coat of many colors, took it back, told their father that Joseph was dead. Next time you're feeling sorry for yourself a little bit, maybe think about Joseph. Kind of puts things in perspective. What looked like an unchangeable tragedy was just another step in God's journey. He stayed faithful when he was sold into slavery. He stayed faithful when he was blessed in Egypt. In Genesis chapter 39 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." I want you to imagine this, that I'm sure that being tied up by your brothers and thrown in a pit, you're not sure if they're going to kill you or not, being sold into slavery, I'm sure that he didn't feel like God was with him. But the word of God says that the Lord was with him. And there's going to be times when you get down in the valley. There are going to be times when you're discouraged, that you're depressed, that you are in just absolute despair, and you want to give up completely, just want to quit. And I wanted to remind you that that does not mean God isn't with you. Just because the circumstances are great. The Lord was with Joseph, and God raised him out. God raised him up. He was betrayed, sold into slavery. He was accused wrongly. He was imprisoned unjustly, but God was with him through it all. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Now, Peter's writing to people who are facing unimaginable suffering under the hands of Roman persecution. Peter's writing to our brothers and sisters in Christ from centuries ago who faced torture and death and horrific circumstances. And he said, "You're suffering, remember, it's just for a little while, because God's going to raise you up." Whatever you're going through right now, friend, if your faith is in Christ, it's always temporary, and there's always something better to look forward to. Genesis 41, verses 39 and 40, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath showed thee all of this, there is none so discreet as wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." He'd be sold into slavery. He would go through all of his trials at Potiphar's house, all the difficulties with Mrs. Potiphar, and ultimately God would raise him up. And all along the way, he didn't know what would happen, but God was working in it all. He stayed faithful. He stayed faithful. He stayed faithful back there when he was unjustly accused, when Mrs. Potiphar cast her eyes on Joseph and stayed after him and stayed after him and stayed after him. In Genesis 39, verse 7 through 9, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth or knoweth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath unto my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" She tried to seduce him, but Joseph stayed faithful. Because he was faithful, he was imprisoned. He was falsely accused and imprisoned. But through it all, God was with him. In Genesis 39, verse 23, "The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Friends, when you stay faithful to God, whatever your circumstances are, when you stay faithful to God, God is going to bless you. He's going to bless you. He'll bring you through those storms. He'll bring you through those valleys. He'll bring you through those battles, and he'll give you victory. God's mercy was with him. He says that he showed him mercy and gave him favor. God blessed. God requires us to be faithful. Not only was it a journey of faith and a journey of faithfulness, but it was a journey of forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness has got to be a key ingredient in the life of every Christian. Unforgiveness breeds bitterness. One of the great signs of Joseph's effectiveness was his ability to endure everything that he did without resentment. Has anybody ever done you wrong? I mean, like, real wrong. I know most of us have been treated badly at different times in our lives, but I'm always amazed at how some people, it just kind of rolls off. They just kind of roll with the punches. That's the way it is. People do wrong. That's the way it is. And they just kind of go on. Other people have to hold on to that. They just kind of keep it right here and hold on to it, nurture it. And that unforgiveness grows into bitterness, resentment, and anger. And it's like a cancer in your spirit. We have to be people who forgive. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. Says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You see, when you hold on to unforgiveness, when you're not willing to forgive others, and that turns into bitterness, it doesn't just trouble you, but it troubles everybody around you. It's not just a cancer that spreads inside of you. It's a cancer that spreads through everybody around you. We've got to learn to forgive. Satan delights in causing conflict among Christians. And people whose hearts are consumed with bitterness and unforgiveness, it keeps us from moving forward in our journey of faith. God says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We need to learn from the example of Joseph and follow the pattern of Jesus Christ as we strive to forgive others. Now, most of you remember, and we've kind of blown through the account of Joseph here, but most of you remember how that after he was falsely accused, he was in prison, God raised him up, he had the opportunity to interpret a couple of dreams for the butler and the baker, and then finally he was remembered, finally he was brought out, and he was able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. He was able to tell him what was going on. There would be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine like the world had never seen. And Joseph gave him a plan, and Pharaoh set him up to be second in command over all of Egypt. He was, at that time, the second most powerful person on the planet, probably. And Pharaoh was only above him in name only. And Joseph took care of everything and set everything up. And you remember when the famine came that Jacob sent Joseph's brothers, Jacob sent his other sons to go and buy bread in Egypt. He heard there was bread in Egypt. You remember how the first time they came, they didn't recognize him. They hadn't seen him in 20 years. They had no idea. And he looked like an Egyptian. And they didn't recognize him, but he recognized them. And you remember how he sends them back and he holds Simeon behind and he says, don't come back unless you bring your baby brother with you. All of those things had taken place. They had come back the second time. Now, the first time, Joseph just pretended like he was an Egyptian. But now they come back the second time, and I want you to notice how he gave forgiveness. Genesis 45, verse 1. Genesis 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. What a heart. What a heart. Joseph gave forgiveness. Joseph realized God had used all of those steps in his life, all of those tragedies, all of those setbacks, God had used to bring him to this place of honor. And he would not hold it over his brothers' heads that they sold him into slavery. Clara Barton, the founder of the American Red Cross, was reminded one day of some vicious deeds that someone had done to her years before, but she acted like she didn't even know what they were talking about. And they said, don't you remember it? She said, no, I distinctly remember forgetting it. We can't hold on to those hurts. See, here's the reality, friends. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Have you been forgiven? Do you deserve it? Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. How can we forgive other people? Because we've been forgiven. He gave forgiveness. Next, notice that he was gracious. He was gracious. Genesis 42:25 says, "And Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money to his sack and to give them provision for the way. Thus did he unto them." He was good to them. He was gracious to them. He went above and beyond what he had to do. He was loving to them. Not only did he forgive them and not try to punish them and not try to hold it over their head, but he was good to them. He was good to them. And then he remained focused. He remained focused. In verse 7, it says, "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance." You see, Joseph remained focused on God. And he remained focused on God's purposes. Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 through 21. Genesis 50, verse 19. "Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought it evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear you not. I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. You see, through it all, he stayed focused on God. He stayed focused on God's purposes. Back in Genesis 45, verse 5, he said, "God did send me before you to preserve life." He was focused on what God was doing. He wasn't worried about his circumstances, worried about his setbacks, worried about falsely being accused, not worried about what other people thought about him, not worried about any of those things. He was worried about God. In God's name and God's purposes. When he was tempted by Mrs. Potiphar, what did he say? "How can I sin? How can I do this evil and sin against God?" He was concerned about God. He was concerned about God's purposes. We've got to learn to see earthly situations from a heavenly perspective. When our plans are interrupted, You can mark those down as divine appointments. God is the one that's in control. I think this pandemic that we've all been enduring has brought a lot of that into focus. There are just some things that are outside of our control. There's some things that we start to see that really matter. I see families spending more time together, and I see families that have spent more time in God's word. I see people, Christians, who are lamenting the fact that they can't gather with their brothers and sisters, that they don't have the fellowship and the closeness that we had just a couple of months ago. You see, it starts to bring into focus when things don't go according to plan. It starts to bring into focus the things that really matter. What is it that really matters? What is it that really matters in your personal walk with Christ? What is it that really matters for us as a church? And what are we supposed to be doing? What are the things that are the priorities? What are the things that really matter? There's a lot that I don't understand. There's a lot that I don't know. But I know this. You and I, we have got to learn to focus on our personal walk with God. To stay faithful. To stay faithful when things don't go well. We have to stay faithful. Breaks my heart to talk to people who I once knew to be a part of a church, to be faithful in a church, who now would say they don't even believe in God or not sure that they believe in God. That's heartbreaking to me. You know, almost without fail, every one of those people that I meet that are in that condition, they had something bad happen. There was some tragedy, some setback, something didn't go the way that they thought it should. Can I just challenge you? Be like Joseph. There's going to be setbacks. There's going to be problems. There's going to be tragedies even. But God is faithful. God is in control. And we can stay faithful to him. Not only was he heavenly focused, he had a heavenly focus, but he met the earthly needs. He comforted his brothers. He spoke kindly to them. He was loving. He was giving. When we focus on the Lord, then what we do, our actions, are become more and more Christ-like. I don't know what kind of difficulty you may be facing. I don't know what kind of problems you may have personally in your life. I know. I don't know. Maybe somebody it seems like is against you. Maybe you can just feel that there are those who mean evil to you. But remember, God will mean it unto good. God will bring it to good. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If you have put your faith in Christ, then you love him because you've been begotten by him. You love him because he first loved you. Do we love him? Have you been called according to his purpose? Then know that no matter what happens now, that God's going to work it out for good. None of this matters without that initial faith. If you've never been born again, you must repent and believe the gospel. You must trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I pray if you've never been born again, that tonight you would pray, ask God to forgive you, ask him to save you. He's made a way for us to have not just life now, but everlasting life through Christ our Savior. I pray that if the Holy Spirit of God is working in your heart, maybe you're having some trouble, maybe there's some unforgiveness, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit convicts your heart, that you get it right with him tonight while we stand, while we get ready for an invitation. Spirit's convicting your heart. Decision you need to make for the Lord tonight.